We start a series this new year, 2019, on things that God cannot do. I know you say, well, God can do anything. Yes, he can do anything, but there are certain things he will not do according to his character and his nature. 2 weeks ago, we talked about God cannot fail. We fall all the time. We make mistakes all the time, but God cannot fail. Last week, we talked about God cannot lie. We live in a world permeated with liars. The Bible says all men are liars. And again, I know what you're saying. You say, well, I don't tell a big fat lie. I tell a little white lie. Let me tell you, a lie is a lie. You say, well, I tell a half truth. Well, I don't give all the details. Let me tell you, whatever you do, it's called a lie, okay? But God cannot lie. So this morning, 20th day of January, we want to look at another thing that God cannot do. Again, remember God has promised this year that he's going to do a lot of things for you. So this morning, we want to look at a principle of God is a cheerleader, we want to say. He's cheering for you. He's wanting his best for you. So we want to use that today as God cannot sit back and watch you drown or watch you fall. God is always there to encourage you on. He's not wanting the worst for you. God wants his best for you. So God cannot, we're going to use the illustration of the analogy of a lifeguard. He cannot sit back and watch you drown. He cannot. It's not his nature. His nature is to rescue and to serve. So we're going to be looking at today as we look at a real particular passage in the scripture. Turn to Luke chapter 15. None other than the passage of the prodigal son. It's a good example of what God is like, the father looking at this son who's gone awry or gone AWOL. Luke chapter 15. When you get there, say amen. If you notice a lifeguard, if you ever been in the pool, he's always sitting looking at the whole pool, and he's always looking at the people in the 3 feet and the 4 feet and 5 feet, and he's looking to see those people who are striving to learn how to swim, those dog paddlers, those people out there. But his job is always to dive in and save you. Amen? He's always there for that. And so God is looking at you. He sees everything that you do, every detail of your life. And he's not going to just sit there and let you drown. He's going to be the one that dive in to your rescue. Luke chapter 15. We'll start at verse 11 and we'll read down to verse 24. So I'm going to get you to read with me today. That way you can get more out of the scripture. I'll read 11, you read 12 till we get down to verse 24. And he said, Jesus is speaking to them, a parable. A certain man had two sons. Give me the portion of goods falls to me, and he divided them to him. Yeah. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. So here we see he leaving the father, and there wasted his substance, all his money and his good, with rioters or partying or having a good time, living. Verse 14. And when we get to that, we're going to find out that when you got money, you got a lot of friends. But don't go broke on them. When you get broke, then you're going to find out that nobody wants you, okay? And he went and joined, this is what you shouldn't do, join with the lost people, for a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the field to feed the swine or the pigs. Verse 16. This man's so hungry, he's going to eat the pig slop. That way it gets when you get away from God. And when he came to himself, that's going to be our key verse today. When he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father have bread enough and to spare? They got plenty. And I perish with hunger. Verse 18. That's his first step. He repenting. And am no worthy, no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And the son said unto his father, to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. And bring here the fatted calf and kill it and let us eat and be merry. My son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they begin to be merry. Familiar passage, the prodigal son. Some New Year encouragement to you as a Christian. God will not let you sit back and destroy yourself. God is not, he wants the best for you. So he's not going to sit there like this young boy went off and did it. His father would sit there all the time looking for him, waiting on him to come back. So we're going to talk about today is God is always wanting your best. He's not the type that's going to sit back and wish bad things on you. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you for another Lord's Day, a day that you have made. We rejoice and be glad. And thank you for the saints of God that came out to the house of God. Even in the inclement weather, I think they said it was snow flurries outside, Lord, and cold. But Lord, we know that you control the elements anyway. And you made this day, and we want to rejoice and give you thanks. And we thank you for our Sunday school lesson today that we had on Jesus, how he gave a new commandment, Lord. He told us how we ought to not swear and how we ought to be a man of our word, a lady of our word. And he told us how we ought to turn the other cheek. Don't let people humiliate you. Just walk away. And then he told us to love our enemies, Lord. Heap coals of fire on their heads. So, Lord, help us to do all those things. Thank you for our corporate prayer that Brother Jerry opens up this morning, Lord. Thank you for our time of testimony, time of praises, Lord. Thank you for our covenant reading, Lord. Thank you for our recognized birthdays, anniversaries, and our fellowship song, Lord. Thank you for the announcements, Lord. Thank you for, again, our last two praise song, our offering, Lord. Help us to use it for your honor and glory. Now, Lord, it's time for the preaching ceremony. I'm not sufficient in myself. So, Lord, as we look at these things in the scripture about the things that you cannot do, you will not sit back and let us drown. Lord, help us to take this and make application in our everyday life. And we'll be careful to give you all the honor and the glory. For the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. For those of you who missed Wednesday Bible study, we taught on the correct interpretation of Philippians 4:13, which says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. And if you wasn't here, we said a lot of people take that verse out of context. We talked about how you say you're going to lift 200,000 pounds over your head. No, you can't do that because you don't have the body to do it. We talked about how athletes, when they win certain awards, they say, I can do all things through Christ. But then they have the physique and they have the body and they have the talent. But you take somebody who's not tall or somebody who's not fast or somebody who's not quick, they can't say that. So we said these prayer breakfasts where the mayor and the president have all these millionaires, multimillionaires talk about, I can do all things because they're making $1 million. But then you got a struggling Christian over here who's doing this, serving the Lord faithful, but he's not getting $1 million. So why that verse don't apply? Because that person who making $1 million took that verse out of context. Paul was in jail. Amen. Paul was just learning how to be content. Paul didn't have a lot. And Paul said, look, I can do all things through Christ. So that verse is only when you've been persecuted for Christ, is when you're suffering for Christ, and when you're seeing that the things that you have don't look like they measure up. But you can claim that verse, but I can do what? All things through Christ, which strengthens us. So we talked about that. So the background of this parable is explained in verse 1 and 2. It talks about this man had two sons. We're not going to get time to talk about the elder son because he's the one that we're going to find out was jealous and prejudiced and got upset because his younger son got right. But let me tell you, don't be that way. When somebody get right with the Lord, you ought to rejoice. Amen. When one rejoice, we ought to rejoice. Now, we have the habit of when somebody is down in the dump, we step on them. No, don't do that. Don't do that. Because that same person that's down in the dump, you can be that next person. So don't be that. So we see right here the parable. Now, This parable is kind of the last parable, three parables in Luke chapter 15. The first parable about the lost sheep. The sheep has got out lost. The master goes and finds him, takes him, put him on his shoulders and bring him home. And the Bible said when he got home, he rejoiced, because the Bible say there's joy in heaven over one that repent than over 99 just. OK, then we see the parable of the lost coin. This woman had a diamond collection, or what you say, just say a collection of 10 diamonds. She lost one, or just say it was 10 pins. And in that time, all of them was important. So she had to sweep the whole house to find that one. And when she found that one pin, she rejoiced. That's a picture of mishandled. There are a lot of people go to church and they mishandled by preachers. They mishandled by other Christians and they fall out of church. And you talk to people, they say, I don't go to church because church is about a bunch of hypocrites. I don't go to church because they hurt me in church. Well, let me tell you, just because they hurt you in church does not make Jesus not who he says. Amen. So you need to stop looking at people and look to the Lord. So this morning we want to talk about the prodigal son, the young brother, the prodigal son. He's described in this passage as an impatient person, an anxious person, escaped from the rules of his father's house. He told his father, give me my portion that come to me. Now, in that culture, you didn't get your inheritance until the person died. Amen. But no, he didn't want to wait for he dead. He was saying, you dead to me now. So go ahead and give me my money. So we're going to talk about that. We talk about how he was impatient. He was restless. A good Christian does not despise authority. He wanted to get up on his parents' rule. So many young people, when I was a youth pastor, he would say, I can't wait to get on my own. You better be careful with that. Because long as you're under your parents' rule, they feeding you. They clothing you. They taking you to school. They taking you. You ain't got no bills. You ain't got no worries. You ain't got no problems. But you say, wait till I get out. The bill collector waiting on you to get out there. Soon as you get out there, you're going to find out it ain't easy. Amen? So be careful with that. A good Christian desires not to think or choose or to act in his own pleasure. You need to do things to bring honor and glory to the Lord. Two things are happening in your life today. We're going to see it in this prodigal son. You're either getting closer to the Lord or you're getting further from the Lord. In the passage that we studied today, this young boy got further and farther away from the Lord. Now, I hate to tell you this, but when you go away from the Lord, you begin to go down, down, down into the dumps, okay? Long as you're in the Lord's presence, even if you're going through a trial, he's there with you. But when you're by yourself, you're going down. So we're going to look at this today as we're going to ask why God will not let you drown. Point number one, God cannot let you drown or destroy yourself, because it stumbles other people and it hurts your family, yourself, and it hurts many souls. So God's not going to sit back and let you drown because you can affect other people. Have you noticed Abraham had a nephew named Lot? Y'all remember the story of Lot? Lot lifted up his eyes and looked to Sodom. By the way, Sodom was a place like, I hate to say it, Atlanta, or L.A., San Diego, Las Vegas. The greenery. He said, oh, let me go down there where I can really live it up. But what he didn't know was, or what he should have known was, Sodom was a place of rebellion, a revelry, and a sin city. Amen. That's where he went. And so if you notice in the Bible, you never read about Lot smiling. You never see him smiling. You never read anywhere in the Bible about Lot laughing. You never see him laughing. You never read in the Bible about Lot having fun. Why? Because he's out of the will of God. You might think a lost person is miserable, but the most miserable person in the world is a Christian out of the will of God. Because God is going to chastise that Christian. God is going to continue to beat that Christian into shape, because God is more concerned about your goodness than he is about your downfall. Amen? In our text, go back to our text, Luke chapter 15. Verse 12 said, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me. That's the first thing. He just kind of came to daddy. Give me the portion of goods that followed to me. I want my money now. I know you're going to die one day and I'm your son. So give me my portion now. This man had no respect for his father. He was ready to get out. He couldn't wait till his father died. He wanted to get inheritance now. I just read on the Facebook on the internet where this woman said her husband was trying to poison her with arsenic so he could get her life insurance. Let me tell you, you need to be careful with that. People can't wait till you to die. This young man had got out of the will of God. Look at verse 13. And not many days after that, so his dad had divided him his living. Not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and did what?
Took his journey.
I can't wait to leave. I'm gone to L.A. I'm gone to Atlanta. I'm going to ATL. I'm gone to New York. I'm getting out of here. I'm going where I can live it up. Y'all got too many rules around here. You got too many things I can't do. You know, I was in New Orleans one time, and a guy told me, he said, I had to move from New Orleans. I said, why? He said, they don't never sleep. I said, what you mean? He said, they party all day and all night. I said, in New Orleans? He said, man, you go to New Orleans. I don't know if you ever been to New Orleans. They got Bourbon Street. They got French Quarter. Hey, they got it all. And they partied. And what blew my mind? I went to New Orleans, these little kids be out playing saxophone and playing trumpets and stuff at 9 years old and making money. It just got it going on. So be careful when you want to get out from under the rule. Lot, Christians out of the will of God. In our text, he said, give me my portion. And then he took his journey. And then the Bible says, and there wasted his substance with what? Riotous living. I mean, he didn't have nothing. He just partied and had a good time. Matter of fact, look at verse 30. I hadn't read this. This is what his elder brother said about it. Verse 30. But as soon as thy son was come, which has devoured thy living with what? With prostitutes. He'd been out there sleeping in those brothels. You know what I'm talking about. He'd been out there having a good time. He went out to L.A. He can have as many women as he wanted to. He lived it up. And you led him back in the house. He was upset. And look what he said. He said, harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatty calf. Let me tell you something about sin. The Bible says sin will take you further than you want to go. The Bible says sin will keep you longer than you want to stay. The Bible says sin will cost you more than you want to pay. So here this boy had done got, I don't know how much, just say he had $50,000 his daddy gave him. He done went out there and played the lottery and played the casino and went to the brothel and drunk up all it, and now he ain't got a dime. He broke. Lived it up. The rich son is now poor son. Ain't got a dime. I had all the money, and now he poor. The prince, he was a prince. He's now a slave. He ain't got nothing, nowhere to go. His job used to be he was the owner's son. He could direct all the servants. Now he's at a pig style. A pig herd. Let me tell you why that's so devastating. Number one, a Jew wasn't supposed to be around no pigs in the first place. A Jew was supposed to be kosher. He wasn't supposed to eat. He wasn't even supposed to touch the body of a swine because a swine didn't. He had a cloven foot, but he didn't chew the cud. Now here's a Jew working at a pig's place. When you leave God, you go down. And not only that, he used to eat the filet mignon. He used to have the great meals at the Red Lobsters or at the Chop House. Now he looking at the pig eating and saying, man, I could have some of that. he finna eat the slop of the pigs. He done lost everything he had. His crown that he used to have is taken off his head. His robe that he had is taken off. He's stripped down to nothing. His countenance, his face that used to be glittering and used to be luster, it's got all kind of wrinkles on it now. And he's like he's in prison. You've heard the story from rags to riches. Here's the opposite. Here from riches to rags. Here this man had everything, and now he ain't got nothing. He didn't squandered his father's income or his portion from his father's income. He don't have a job. He's working in the pig's pen. He don't have nothing to eat. Nobody's giving him any food. He's trying to eat some slop, and he's in the dumps. Point number one, God cannot let you destroy yourself. But what happened? Point number two, God cannot sit back and let you starve either.
You know, it had to be on the heart of his dad that he ain't got nothing yet. Wonder where my son at now. Wonder what's he doing out there in L.A. Wonder what's going on out there in Atlanta. What's going on? What's he doing down there? He can't let him starve. Verse 17, he said, I perish with hunger. His paycheck could not satisfy his hunger. I don't know about you, but get out on your own and start getting minimum wage. Now, you know, I'm not criticizing minimum wage, but it's hard to live on minimum wage. You got rent. You got water bill. You got electric bill. You got gas. What is minimum wage? Anybody know?
$7.65
an hour. Let me tell you, this man couldn't pay his bill. He couldn't make it. So he was starving. He couldn't make it. His paycheck couldn't satisfy his appetite. The swine, the pigs, were eating better than him. And then verse 16 say, no man gave to him. Where's his friends now? When he first got out there and had that big old $50,000 money driving around that Cadillac, they're taking everybody to the party, paying for everybody to have a shot, paying for everybody to play the lottery, to play the bingo, casino. Now he ain't got no money. What happened to his pot smokers? Y'all know what pot smokers are, you? Y'all act like y'all ain't been saved. Like, what they do, they get around in a hole, and one person get the pot, and he passed the joint around. What is that now? Where is alcohol consumption? I don't know about you, but when I grew up, they used to pass the ball. Well, y'all know what that means. No wonder nobody worried about the germs, because the germs, I guess, was burned off by the alcohol. Where they at now? Where's his buddies at now? That when he was partying, they had all the liquor they wanted to drink. They had all the pot they wanted to smoke. There was a party animal. They stayed up all night. Where they at now? The Bible said, no man gave to him. You ever notice that? When you got money, you got friends, but don't go broke. You can't find nobody to give you a nickel. Can't find nobody. This guy said he was a drug dealer. So he used to go out and sell drugs. And he said he came down with sarcoidosis and got in the hospital. He said when he's in the hospital, fighting for life, nobody came to see him. He said, finally, one girl beat up in the door and said, can I get a hit from you? She came to get some, she came looking for some reefer. He said, now, of all the people that I didn't sell drugs to, one person came, nobody gave him one. And the Bible says, sometime when you get that point, you begin to look back. I don't know about you, but sometimes people have to get to the rock bottom before they look up. I don't know about you, but sometimes people have to lose everything they have before they call on God. Some people have to get in the pit, in the gutter. The Bible says this. He came to himself. Oh, man, that's the best part of the story. This man has lost everything. This man ain't got, what they say, a pot to pee in. He ain't got nothing. He ain't got nothing. But in his mind, he began to think, you know what, my daddy got hired servants eat better than me. My daddy. Looking back, reflection sometimes is the best medicine. Sometimes when you're getting to think about where I lost, there's a saying that the world says you don't miss your well, I'll tell you what, then run dry. You don't miss your water until you run down. Let me preach a little bit on marriage. I hope y'all don't get mad at me. But sometimes, you have it good, and you say, I don't like that. I want to get out there and sow some wild oaks. I want to find myself. I'm going to go find me a new man. I'm going to go find me a new woman. Get on out there for a little while, and then realize what you had and what you done lost, what you had. You used to come home, and you had your dinner ready. You used to come home, and you had a warm bed to sleep in. You used to come home, and the lights was paid. I know a lady, she got married, and she gave him the money, and it never went to the pay the bill, and they was cutting off the lights. He was going down there partying with the money, playing tips with the money. I said, see, you don't want to mess with the wrong person, amen? But remember, I got some stories in the Bible where people came to themselves. Remember Samson? Oh, y'all need to know Samson.
See, Samson was a womanizer. Oh, y'all don't want to hear me say it. Samson had all these muscles, and Samson was a strong and had all this long hair. And Samson would go everywhere, and he would beat the Philistine down, and he'd get any woman he want, but he met his match. Oh, y'all hear me talk this morning? I don't care who you are. There's somebody out there that's smarter than you, that's cunner than you. He ran into Delilah. Y'all know the story, right? Delilah said, I find out where his strength comes from. She told the Philistine, you give me 1,100 pieces of silver. She wasn't about Samson. She was about his money. And she talked him into telling everything about, if you cut my hair, I'll be as weak as other men. She had him come in and shave his hair, and Samson lost his strength. Amen? And then the Philistine came and put his eyes out. I don't know if you ever seen a prod. They take a prod when they get ready to cow or they want to put, and they took a hot prod and pushed in his eye, and then they put him in a mill, and they had him grinding in the mill like an animal, and the Philistine laughed and mocked at him, and then they're going to bring him out to have sport one day. Y'all know the story, in a big coliseum. But the Bible says Samson came to himself. The Bible says Samson said this: Lord, remember me. Lord, if you just give me, I know I messed up. I know I didn't do right. That's why the songs are, he's the God of a second chance. Or let me help you. Yeah, he's the God of a 100 chances when it comes to us, because we mess up all the time. Lord, if you give me my strength back just one more time, I will revenge the enemy for you. Just like the prodigal son came to himself, Samson came to himself and killed more people at his death than in his whole lifetime. Amen? There's another prophet in the Bible who came to himself. Jerry preached on him. His name is Jonah. Oh, y'all know the story of Jonah. Jonah was like most Christians. He was rebellious. Didn't want to do what God told him to do. God told him, go down there to the Nineveh. I ain't going down to the Nineveh. Them some rude people. They ugly people. I ain't got nothing to do with them. I ain't want to fool with them Nineveh. And the Bible say he bought a ticket and went down to Tarshish. Y'all know the story. And then God sent a storm. And while the storm was there, all the mariners were trying to figure out how to get. And Jonah said, I'm the reason you're having a storm. I'm the one out of the will of God. I'm the one that God told to go to Nineveh wouldn't go. If you cast me overboard, the sea would be calm. They couldn't believe it. They said, we ain't going to do that. They kept rowing. It wouldn't happen. So they finally picked him up and throwed him overboard. And by that time, God had prepared a big fish. Y'all know the story. To swallow Jonah up. Well, here's the good news, folks. Jonah came to himself. When he got in that fish. Now, I can't explain it to you, but it had to be dark down there. It had to be a lot of seaweed down there. He had to be down there almost in a comatosis. But, and the Bible says, Jonah said, Lord, I'm going to pray to you out of the fish belly. Lord, would you look on me one more time? And Lord, if you give me some grace, I'll do what you tell me to do. And the Bible says, God spoke to the fish. Oh, y'all don't want me to preach today. Just like God made the fish, God can speak to a fish. And the fish vomited him up on dry land. And Jonah went and did exactly what God told him to do. He went and preached one message, repent. Or in 40 days, God going to destroy the city. And the whole city, there's nobody in the Bible that had 100% salvation in one city but Jonah. The whole city repented and got saved. Amen? So many times in the pit, it's when you come to yourself. The prodigal son, the Bible says he came to himself. That means he paused for a little bit. He considered and he reflected on rational thinking. And he had genuine repentance. He said, you know what? I will arise and go back. You know, that's the hardest thing when people make mistakes. It's hard for them to go back. But you got to drop your pride. He said, you know, I'm going to go back to my father. And he had already been practicing what he going to say. And when I get back, I'm going to say, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. See, a lot of times when folks mess up, let me go back to marriages a lot of times. When folks mess up, the first thing they need to do is go back and ask for forgiveness. I messed up. I went out and messed my life up. I shouldn't have left you. I shouldn't have divorced you. It's my fault. I messed up. Well, forgive me. So see, he went home. He went home. He said, I'm going to go back. And let me just tell you, it's one thing to think of it, but it's another thing to actually put it into motion. See, you need to put your feet to work. When you say, I'm going back, what the song say, feet don't fail me now? need to say, let's go. I'm going back. I'm going back and I'm going to get it right. So he said, I will rise and go to my father's house. The Bible said, let the wicked forsake his way. He was overwhelmed with conviction. He knew that he needed to go home. And so he made this statement, I'm going to go to my dad. So there was no one to blame. He couldn't have blamed nobody. It was his own mistake. There was no one to put the blame on. You know how Eve did? Well, it was a serpent. The serpent, Adam said it was Eve, and Eve said it was a serpent. You can't blame nobody. The prodigal son, he willfully chose to leave his father's house. Last point to you, why God cannot sit back. Number one, God cannot let you destroy yourself, your family, stumble folks. He can't let you stumble souls, many souls. God cannot let you sit back and starve to death, physically or mentally. This man is physically and mentally was in trauma. God could not do it. And the last point is, God cannot let you drown because God sees you and he's already, I want you to hear this, preparing a repast for you. He's already preparing a reception for you. God already knew. He knew that the prodigal son was going to come home. And God had already started making preparations. I want you to see when he gets home, I don't know the story. I've heard the story about tie a yellow river around the oak tree. And they say when the prodigal son was coming home on the train, he was afraid to see his father because he knew he had messed up his money. He was afraid to go to his father because he didn't know how his father was going to receive him. He had been saying, Father, I'm going to ask forgiveness. But the Bible said, the story goes that his father was so looking for his son that he would get up every day and go out on the railroad track and look to see was his son coming home. And every day, and then the story said he began to tie. He wanted to make sure his son felt like he was at home. He began to tie a yellow river around all the trees about 2 miles away. So when his son came around that bend in the train and he started seeing that yellow ribbon, he knew then his father was waiting for him. And so when he got to his father, he said, Father, I have sinned against. His father said, hush. I ain't got time for that. Hush. And then he called his. He didn't even address his son. He turned to the servant. He said, come here. He said, what I want you to do? I want you to go and get a robe and put on him. He wanted to go and put back on that royalty robe. See, he was a prince. He was in the rags. Father said, I want you to put a robe on him. And then he said, and put a ring. What? On his finger. See, a ring was a picture of ownership, of power. He had a signifying ring. He said, my son, that's my son. But before that, I kind of skipped a point. The Bible said he fell on his neck and kissed him. See, that kissing was a symbol of, I've forgiven you. See, I want you to understand. You don't understand. This man had been in the hog pen. This man had, was smelling like slop. This man probably had dirty clothes on, was stinking, but his daddy, it didn't bother his daddy. His daddy just grabbed him and hugged him. And that's why a lot of times when folks come to the church, you can't be bringing up all the stuff they done did. Just let it go. You need to forgive them. You can't say, well, you know what you did. No, you can't. See, when people come, that's why I was preaching at the revival here. Stop looking at the tattoos and stop looking at the pink hair and stop looking at the dress. Just love people because the father just grabbed him and say, welcome home, son, and kissed him and hugged him. Then he said, put a robe on him, put a ring on his finger. And that ring again was a symbol of reconciliation. And then he said, put some shoes. What? On his feet. Oh, man, you don't know the story. See, the slave didn't have no shoes. They walked around barefooted. In Africa, a lot of time they walked around barefoot. But if you was a son of royalty, they put some shoes on your feet. And this boy had shoes when he left. And he didn't have no shoes. He probably had pawned his shoes. I heard the story of one a wino one time. And they said that he was so caught up in an attic that he had a baby boy. And they had bought the baby boy some new shoes, some little booties. And he took the booties and sold them for a bottle of wine. He was just that gone. So let me tell you, he didn't have no shoes. His dad said, you need to put some shoes on him. And then he said, now what I need y'all to do, I need you to go out in my field and get the fatted calf. See, I don't know about you, but there are some cows they just fatten up for food. There are some cows they fatten up for a special occasion. So he had this they know how to tenderize the meat. They know how to feed. So he had this fat calf out there sitting waiting on a time to have an occasion. And what the father said, now's the time. my son came home. Now is the time. So he said, get the fattest calf. Now, I want y'all to get the parallel here. This boy was starving. He was in a foreign land in the pigspen, and he said, my desire is I'm hungry. Now his daddy finna give him a big filet mignon steak. He's coming home. Y'all listen to the story. The father's love. He said, I'm not worthy of my father's love. The father said, yeah, you are. So let me tell you, whenever you go down here, God is still wanting the best for you. He still wants to bring you home. There's a time of joy. There's a time of festival. There's a time of being merry. There's a time of rejoicing. God is always watching over you. God is always wanting the best for you. God always wants you to have a relationship with you. God is pursuing you. God don't want you to go into the club. God don't want you to go down into the gutter. God don't want you to mess your life up. God wants the best for you. That's why I preach so much on homes and families and teenagers. God wants the best for our children. He wants the best for our grandchildren. He wants the best for you. He wants the best for me. He wants the best for this church. He wants the best for our family. He wants the best for our health. God cannot sit back and let you go down. Amen. Cannot. He cannot. Every year, you know, I'm an Afro-American man, and Afro-American men don't like to go to the doctor. They tell me that men are the hardest people to go to. Let me tell you, men, if I can speak to you one more time, go to the doctor. Get a checkup. Get a physical, because you need one. Amen? Amen. I got a Christian doctor. And every time I go to him, he said, Pastor, how you doing? He said, time for your checkup. He said, I got to do your blood work. And I got to do your urine analysis. I got to test for glycerol and test for cholesterol. Y'all know what I'm talking about. But I want you to know this. God wants the best for me. And when my report came in, the doctor said, I got some good news. All your tests came back. Flying colors. Your cholesterol is in good shape. Your blood pressure is in good shape. You have to, that's some good news. But you know who wanted that good news? God wanted that good news. God wanted that good news. I don't want to preach on Ben a little bit, but let me preach on Ben a little bit. Sometimes your blood pressure can get out of shape. And so you need to follow the doctor's order. Sometimes your blood pressure, you ain't taking your medicine. So let me tell you, God don't want that. God wants your blood pressure to be normal. He wants your blood pressure. He wants you to have the right temperature. He wants you to have the right. Let me tell you, he checked my prostate. And let me tell y'all, men, I don't care what you say. You need to get your prostate checked. Because there's some prostate, there's some PSA come out. And if you don't catch it early, you'll be in danger. Amen. I preach a little bit on Jerry. Jerry don't mind. Jerry had to get his prostate taken. Let me tell you, God wanted the best for you. And Jerry said, well, just when he came to church, he said, I got sick. So sick that I didn't think I was going to get well. Y'all know the story. But let me tell you, God wanted the best for Jerry. God wanted the best for you. And Jerry said he had to have surgery. There was some kidney stone, wasn't it? Gallstone. And they had to tell him, well, we got to take all this out. Let me tell you. In the hospital. I don't know if you ever been in the hospital, but God wants the best for you. So sometimes we get, here we go, depressed. Don't we get depressed sometimes? Sometimes we get in the question, well, God, now is this test going to work out? And sometimes God puts you on the, I like to say it like this, God take you right up to the line, right up to the threshold. And then your test didn't look good. And we don't know. God, amen. Call on God. God wants the best for you. John said like that, God wants your soul to prosper as he wants you to have and be in good health. God wants you to be, God wants you to have a financial. Now I'm not preaching prosperity, but God wants you to be able to pay your bill. People ask me all the time, say, well, what do you think about this? I say, well, you need to ask God about it. God don't want you starving. David said like this, I've been young and I've been old, never I seen the righteous forsaken. No, I see begging bread. God don't want you like that. God wants your best. He wants the best for you. He wants you to pay your bill. I had to go get my eyes checked. I told you about that. And they told me I got some little cataracts coming up. They said, but let me help you out, preacher. That's normal. I said, well, thank the Lord. They said, but you ain't got to have surgery right now. Just take care of your eye and give you some glasses. Y'all know what I'm talking about. But God wants the best for me. I told you what my doctor told me. My doctor was real honest with me. He said, preacher, I'm going to be honest with you. The older you get, your body break down. That's just life. So guess what? I'm just glad to be in the game and in the living. Since I'm preaching on everybody, let me preach a little bit on Sister Russell there. Sister Russell had to go to the chiropractor. Y'all know. See, I don't know about you. Sometimes your knee don't work right. And sometimes your hip don't work right. And sometimes your back don't work right. And sometimes at night, it be popping. The knee be popping. And sometimes you have to say, Lord, what am I going to do? So sometimes God sets you up and he sends you to somebody who know how to pop them bones. Oh, y'all. See, for a long time, let me preach a little bit on Jeter. For a long time, I used to say, well, I ain't going to no chiropractor. They ain't medical. I ain't going to no other. And somebody had to tell me, you need to wake up. They got all kind of people. They got physical therapists out there. They got all kind of people. They ain't got no medical degree, but they'll help you out. And I remember, I asked you know, I'm one of them inquisitive persons. I went to the chiropractor, and I just questioned him. But what if you break my bone? And what if you mess my back up? And what? He said, let me tell you something. I'm talking to preacher now. He said, everybody have a spine. He said, and your spine lines up all your vertebrae, your vertebrae and your neck. He said, so whatever you say, the medical field teacher, he said, I don't agree that I can get everything in line with spine and put everything together, you'll feel better. I said, well, what about those shots? You know how they get them steroid shots. He said, do you have another question? He said, every profession may have some good in it. He said, orthopedics are good. I'm not denouncing them. He said, some steroid shots are good. I'm not denouncing them. He said, but also chiropractic. I'm not denouncing them. So he said, now, if you want to, lay down on the sofa. And I can pop yourself. Oh, y'all want me to tell the story, do you? So first of all, he had me stand up. And he said, well, it looked like you crooked. Y'all want me to preach a little bit. He said, one side is a little crooked from the other side. I said, how you know that? He said, I can tell you. He said, now, if you lay down on the table, I'm going to pop. And then you know how to tell you, curl up and hold it right here. And then it like he hugging you. He grabbed him. I'm like, what you doing? He grabbed me, pop, and then he grabbed me, pop, and then you start feeling a little better. And then he said, hold your neck up. I said, now what you finna do? Boom! And I found out that God wanted the best for me. And I found out that I didn't have to have a heating pad every night. Oh, y'all know what I'm talking about. Y'all, a heating pad at night. Or I had to put some ice down because God want me to be healthy. He want me to walk straight up. So God want the best for you. So let me tell you, don't be like me. Don't question everything. God got everybody out there for you, for your good. Chiropractors are good. People used to say, I wouldn't go to them. Let me tell you, I go to one all the time now. I'm telling you, chiropractors are good. Medical doctors are good. Orthopedics are good. Heart doctors are good. So always go where God can do the best for you. Amen? God wants the best for you. God wants to have a party for you. And he wanted to be generous with his gift. One more guy, and I'll give you a story, Job. Job had lost everything that he had. Job had lost all his children, all his livestock. Job has even lost his health. Y'all know the story. And Job had got so bad that the devil was hitting on him so hard that his wife couldn't understand. She said, why don't you just cuss God and die? Job said, I can't do that. I can't do that. But the Bible said at the end of the story, you need to go to the end of the story, God gave Job twice what he had. God had a party for Job. You know what God told Job? Job, go and get all your buddies. And those three friends that dogged you out, go get them too. And God brought all Job's family. He brought all Job's sisters. He brought all Job's brothers. He brought all Job's nephews, his aunts, everybody around the party. And they began to celebrate. And then when he brought Job in, he gave Job twice. He gave Job seven more daughters and three more sons. So let me tell you, God wants the best for you. Don't let the devil fool you. The devil will tell you that God is abandoning you. No, he can't do that. The devil will tell you that God let this happen to you. No, he can't do that. God cannot sit back and let you drown or destroy yourself. God wants the best for you and for me. So you know what that means? What I ought to do? I ought to praise his name. The psalmist said, I praise his name among the people. The psalmist said, I praise his name forever. Thy name, O Lord, I will praise the devil. The psalmist said, among the people. Let me, I don't just praise God here in the church, y'all. I praise God everywhere. I want people to know that when I go places, some people say, and I don't even advertise, some people say, You sound like a preacher. Where'd you get that from? I was at work the other day, and all the people that I work with said, this guy, I met a black guy from Atlanta. He said, John, you know he sound like a Baptist preacher? And everybody busted out laughing because they knew it was a Baptist preacher. So let me tell you, live your life that people can tell. You don't have to say nothing, but live your life such a way that they'll know you're a Christian. Amen? God is generous with your gift. I want you to know that when that boy got home, let me just give you the other side. His daddy could have said, you ain't getting a dime. You done messed up everything I had. You got your portion. Don't come back in here asking for nothing. His daddy could have said, I ain't giving you no shoes. Walk around here barefooted. You're going to pay for what you did. So his daddy could have said, you ain't getting no robe. Sleep out in the servant house. You ain't coming back up in the main house. But you know what his daddy said? Son, you've been forgiven. Son, your bed is still there, unmade. You can go back to sleep. Son, I got your place at the table. Your seat is still empty. You can go back and eat. Son, I got some new clothes for you. I bought some new clothes. I got some new suits in your closet. You need to go put them on. I'm telling you, that's the kind of God we have. He's a generous God. What you mean, preacher? Let me tell you, God want to bless you. God want to give you. The Bible says more blessings to give than to receive. Let me tell you, you can't outgive God. You think you can? You can't. I just preached a little bit on myself. My wife is getting ready to retire, and God is already beginning to bless our home and bless with her 30 years or 30-some years of retirement and bless. And I'm saying, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Because it wasn't nothing that we did. It was only by what? The mercy and grace of God. And I'm so grateful. This little church here, you say, well, it ain't much. It might not be much to you, but it's a lot to me. God is allowing us to teach the word of God. God has allowed us to have a family atmosphere. God is allowing us to reach people for the Lord. So let me tell you, God wants the best for us. I'm looking forward to our fourth year anniversary. Let me just say, that may not mean a lot to you. That's a lot to me because God kept us afloat for 4 years. Amen. You say, how that? I don't know how it happened because I remember when I first started out, you can ask Sister Russell, I didn't have nobody. I didn't have no board. I didn't have no church in me out. I just trust God. And God said, take your tithe that you were paying over here and put them in the church. And God built the church. And God brought the people. And God's heard the people. So look, we ought to be thankful. God was the best for us. Let me tell you, this is a new year. Stop lingering in the past. God has forgiven you for whatever you did. Let's go forward for the Lord Jesus Christ. God wants the best for you and me. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I share with us that you cannot, will not sit back and let us destroy ourselves. Sit back and let us drown. Sit back and let us mess up our family. Lord, you want the best. Lord, help us to realize this new year that everything that happened in our life is because you orchestrated it and you designed it to bring us closer and closer to you. And you want the best for us, our families, our friends, our relatives. You want the best for this church. So help us to let that sink in, and we'll be kept to give you all the honor and the praise. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.